Blog Talk Radio.
Proving that just about anybody can talk about trucks, live from Tampa, Florida, Minot, North Dakota, and Nashville, Tennessee, it's Talk CDL, The Trucker Show, with Troy, Tyler, and Dave. Now, let's talk CDL.
All right, welcome to Talk CDL, The Trucker Show. How are you doing today, Tyler? I know he's here. I see him in here. Tyler, you here?
How's it going? Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just, doing my thing over here in Utah still, so can't complain.
What do we got, about 2 more weeks or 3 more?
I think 3.
What's the end
date? Believe it or not, 15 August, I think. And then I got to drive back, so
okay.
Yeah, so realistically like 17 August, but
yeah.
Yeah, man. So, how's your weekend? Pretty good.
It was all right. I don't know if you need to notice the action on the Talk CDL there. I see there was some arguing going on over there on the page. There was a guy that I guess they had put up a couple articles about. One was about the Tesla, which we're going to talk about that tonight a little bit. There's a truck they're trying to come out with, and everybody's panicking. Oh my gosh, change is on the horizon. Let's panic. A couple truckers, and look, everybody has their right to their opinion. There was drivers, they were, putting up a bunch of stuff. And like I said, I don't have a problem with anybody's opinion, but the one driver put up there, he said something about, how they've gone too far. And then he ended it with, I guess, using the Lord's name in vain, in a sense. And, to be honest with you, that's the rules of the house. We're not pushing religion or anything like that on anybody on this show, but we're not going to put up with anybody saying the GD word or saying for blank's sake, which is, taking Jesus' name. We're not going to do that. So, and then he sent us a bunch of private messages and went off on us and all this other good stuff. And we just politely told, man, you're going to have to obey or hit the road, man. Take off. Run away, baby. We don't care. We don't need you. We don't need that kind of mouth around here. Anyways, look, people are saying the F-bomb and all on the website. Nobody's up in arms saying anything like that. That's the way truckers talk. We understand that. And it is what it is. But we're just not going to use the GD word. And we're just not going to use, Christ's name in any cursing way. Would you agree with that, Tyler?
Yeah, we have the, the right on our page to set the rules, and, that's what we have as our right. That's kind of the way it works there. You got to follow. Maybe that's something we should maybe put on there for the comments. Maybe actually have a, just like a lot of other pages, they have, what you're able to post over to the page and stuff. Maybe we need to actually write something up for that. To make it known, that way there's no, you don't have it anywhere on your page kind of deal, saying that. So maybe we'll work that out. But, it's a friendly page, man. No need to be,
hostile.
Hostile and stuff, We don't need to be hostile.
Oh,
just
man.
Relax, man.
Did you go in there and look at the comments? And they were like blowing it up, man. They were flipping out on Tesla and all this stuff. Honestly, look, I remember back in the day when Qualcomm, everybody was getting a Qualcomm. Nobody even blinks their eye at Qualcomm now. Whenever there's a new rule or something new in the industry, everybody goes, oh my gosh, the world's falling in. Oh no, trucking's dead. It's going to be forever forgotten. Honestly, truly, just another change coming down the pike. And I'll tell you, we're going to read that article on the show today. And I don't really think that everybody has as much to worry about as they think they do with, they're talking about electrical vehicles, tractor trailers with certain ranges. And the batteries are going to weigh so much that they wouldn't be able to haul freight in them, and they're worried about the EPA. And that's, to be honest with you, those goofy wackos that run California, they got their heads up and up their gazoo to begin with, that state does, when it comes to emissions and all your tree bunny hugging, you know, and that's my opinion. See, I state my opinion on the show too, but you know, quite frankly, I don't think you drivers out there have as much to worry about as far as an electrical truck coming down the road just quite yet. I just don't know. Tyler, what do you think as far as technology goes? When we read the article, you'll see that really nobody has one yet. You know, it's not even like they have, you know, I mean, they haven't come up with, they have theories. And like I said, we'll read it. But do you know of any technology that's it's that good yet that they can design a battery to power one of these trucks? Okay, that doesn't weigh a ton itself. You know what I mean? You know, you tell me, Tyler, what do you think?
Oh, no, I think it would actually be pretty simple to get going. You know, I don't know on how as far as charging the battery and how long charging it would take and everything, but man, we have nuclear subs, you know, we have all of these other crazy, just insane ways to build energy. Even though, you know, how long now has eco-friendly vehicles been out? A good probably close to 10 years now, maybe seven years we've had, you know, battery vehicles. The technology is pretty strong on those. I see easily I see you know, this battery operated semi coming out way sooner than, you know, any autonomous truck. And I don't understand why people are so crazy about it to begin with. Who cares if it's gas or not? You should be thankful if it's a battery operated. You don't have to pay for gas no more. Owner operators should be losing their minds hoping these things come out.
Yeah,
you know,
what do you
we'll get into that.
Is? What do you think, you know, the cost is? They're better off paying for diesel. Trust me.
Well, yeah. I mean, the vehicle itself is going to be expensive, but 10 years down the road from now, they're going to be way cheaper than they are now. They're going to be expensive coming out because, well, it's battery operated. It's a lot of technology. It's very expensive technology in that truck. But as we get further along into development of it, you know, it's not going to be the new fad. Shoot, your battery watch used to be really expensive. Now it's like a dollar, you know, not even a dollar. You know, it's used to be super, super, you know, crazy technology, that much power to be able to keep a watch going for years in a little tiny battery. I mean, it just kind of drives me crazy, you know, because you think back in history, right? You think that the horse carriage guys, you know, the guys that used to have horse carriages and everything, like you
that
think when
the
first vehicle came out, first trucker, but you think when the first vehicle came out, you think he was like, oh, my gosh, no, I need my horses. There's no way this is going to work out. You know, or do you think that horse carriage guy was like, holy crap, you know, that right there is a vehicle. I don't have to have horses no more. You know, just like he was probably excited for expansion, excited for these new technologies. And now what do we got? We got guys complaining about the future. And just kind of blows my mind. Just like when the airplane first came out, you think that people were all crying about that, or do you think they were mind blown? I mean, that was a huge thing. You know, it was like we're breaching into the next period in technology and civilization, and people were all about it. And now we're getting to this point where we're being able to go one step further in trucking, and all these truckers out there, you're crying.
No, they don't want it.
And it blows my mind.
No, they don't want it.
There's no way. We don't want to advance as a civilization. That's a horrible idea. You know, because all the jobs are going to go away. It's not like it's going to create new jobs at all, right? No.
You know, in all honesty, it'll always need people. I mean, the day that the automobiles don't need a driver at all, I mean, honestly, but you know, why start thinking in that respect? I mean, there's got to be work for people to earn money to be able to live and survive.
Well,
so we'll see. Let's just bank on it. Let's talk about it. Let's read the article and we'll break it down. And be honest with you, after I read it, everybody's like flipping out. And to be honest with you, here's the other thing. A lot of these guys, they read the title and they look at the picture and they don't even read the article, you know, right away. Like, you know, a lot of, and that's been proven, especially on Facebook. you know, they look at these things, they start commenting, and they're not even commenting usually on what the hell it's even talking about. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about there's some new DOT rule. And here's something else I didn't know, and I'll read it. They have this inspection, and, you know, you have your annual inspection every year. Your truckers, your truck trailer has to be annually inspected. Most companies, believe it or not, inspect it every month. But you have to have your truck inspected at least once a year. And I never knew that a roadside inspection or a certain level DOT inspection, when you pull into a scale house, you can use that as your annual. I didn't know that in some states. I've never known that until I just read this the other day. But now they're supposedly no longer doing that. Well, shoot, I never even knew anybody that was doing it. I don't see where it's really going to hinder a lot of people, unless you were some clown that you know what I mean, had a half-ass inspection and was relying on that to get your truck through. You got to get things up to par, you know. But personally, most trucking companies you lease onto are, you have a 30-day, it's like 30 to 90, they do it every 30 to 90 days, you know, just regardless anyway. So we'll get into that here in just a little bit and all that stuff. So let's take a quick commercial, and Tyler, let's get into the Tesla, get into the Tesla thing here, and get this thing rocking and a rolling. I'm trying to find a commercial. Let's play it.
I'm ready, drivers. How does a 14.1% pay increase sound? If you were at national carriers, you'd already have it. With two pay raises in less than a year, members of the elite fleet are making a great living on the road. Our competitive mileage rates and consistent year-round freight mean you can count on steady paychecks and annual earnings of $50,000 or more. But the pay is just one of the perks. As a company driver, you'll also ride in the comfort and reliability of the latest equipment like the Kenworth C680, the Freightliner Cascadia, and utility refrigerated trailers equipped with SmartTalk UT6 Aerodynamics. And you don't have to ride alone. With NCI's Rider and Pet Policy, you can enjoy the drive with your family and friends, even if they have 4 feet. National Carriers also offers a generous benefits package, including health insurance, 401k, paid vacation, and holidays. All you need to get started is a Class A CDL and 6 months of experience. Join the elite fleet today at GoNationalCarriers.com. That's GoNationalCarriers.com.
For nearly 40 years, owner-operators have trusted Mercer Transportation to provide them with the freight and support needed to be successful. A 100% owner-operated company, Mercer Transportation provides a strong foundation for owner-operators to build their business on. We understand that for us to succeed, we need our owner-operators to succeed, and that is a responsibility we take seriously. That is why at Mercer you can expect consistent year-round freight, 100% fuel surcharge pass-through, fuel and tire discounts, paid cargo insurance plans. You can receive your settlement for each load within one business day with no additional fees. You will work with an assigned load coordinator who understands your business and will keep you loaded and profitable. Contact a Mercer representative today to discuss your goals and how Mercer can assist you in achieving them. Give us a call at 888-978-1393. That number again is 888-978-1393, or visit us online at www.mercertown.com. Mercer Transportation, rock solid, owner-operator driven. Hey drivers, are you in the market for a new driving job? Are you looking for a small family-owned carrier that knows you by your first name? Well, let me tell you about North Dakota's best-kept secret. That secret is GMR Transportation. That's right. Chances are you've never even heard of GMR Transportation. GMR is a small family-owned carrier with 50 trucks and terminals in North Dakota and Wisconsin. GMR may be a small carrier, but they offer big benefits for you and your family. If you've never pulled a flatbed but are looking to pull something different than, say, a typical dry van or reefer trailer, then pick up the phone today and call Steve at 877-327-3127. That's 877-327-3127. And be sure to tell him Talk CDL, the Trucker Show, sent you.
Hey, all you drivers out there that are craving technology, well, check this out. The Driver Pulse app for phones and tablets is 10th Street's first app for drivers. 10th Street is a software company focused on bringing drivers and carriers together. They work with 700 plus carriers, 2 million plus drivers, and have managed over 5 million IntelliJob applications. The Driver Pulse app gives you behind the scenes access to a carrier's hiring process. No more waiting in the dark for details about your application. You can see if your hiring process is in the fast lane or if it has slowed down to a crawl because of missing information or other issues. With Driver Pulse push notifications enabled, you could even know about changes before your recruiter. If you still have questions, Driver Pulse enables you to send messages in real time to your recruiter. Driver Pulse keeps you in the loop no matter where you are. Some features include track applications and hiring process for each carrier via the Pulse tracking meter, like your favorite carriers to let them know your level of interest, block carriers to remove them from your feed and let them know your level of interest, and last but not least, message with recruiters in real time. These are just some of the features on Driver Pulse app. So head on over to iTunes or Google Play and download the free Driver Pulse app today for the latest in streamlined application process.
All right, welcome back to Talk CDL, the Trucker Show. All right, Tyler, let's talk about this Tesla thing that everybody's having a heart attack over here. You still with me, buddy?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's a little light, though, now. What happened?
Oh, like. All right, how about now?
Oh, yeah. What were you doing?
Oh, I had a headset plugged in there, and I was hoping the headset had a microphone on it, but it didn't, so that kind of stinks. But one of the things, I guess, when you're traveling, you don't have your full setup, and it drives me nuts. But that's okay. Go ahead. Read our article.
He's excited today. Okay. Well, you know, I'm just going to let me pull this up and I'll just kind of breeze through a little bit here and just kind of explain what's going on with this thing. It's not that. I mean, honestly, truly. Did you read it, Tyler, yourself or not?
I kind of skimmed through it. It looked at the images and I read through the comments, but I don't think I read the full article.
Yeah, it's from TeslaRoddy.com. It says the Tesla Semi will shake the trucking industry to its roots. That's the title of it. It says Elon Musk's new master plan calls for an expansion of his vehicle into other categories, including buses and heavy duty trucks, both of which are unveiled in about a year. Undoubtedly, carbon emissions worldwide would fall precipitously. If the general automobile consumer transitioned to a tailpipe-free electric Tesla. But that's not what Elon Musk is after. His goal is a full frontal assault on carbon emissions of all kinds, including a Tesla Semi. His objective is for nothing less than a world that no longer uses fossil fuels to power its transportation system, even on a commercial scale. It says, looking back at the Volkswagen diesel scandal and why it is significant, beyond morality, diesel engines, especially heavy-duty diesel trucks, spew emissions on another level. It says, to make the problem worse, passenger cars normally hate a useful life. Have a useful life of around 200,000 miles. Diesel-powered tractors can be on the road for a decade or more, spewing out toxins for millions of miles before they are replaced. The population control system on older trucks are rudimentary at best. In Southern Cal, the population from drayage trucks that haul shipping containers from the ports to inland distribution centers is so bad, it has sparked a number of plans to replace them with electric versions. One solution proposed. Now, here's the solutions. One solution proposes by Siemens called for equipping trucks with pantographs. Have you ever heard of a pantograph, Tyler?
No.
It says, okay, equipment with these pantographs so that they can draw electricity from overhead wires along their routes. So I don't know. Is that almost like Is that almost like one of those train cars that have the, you know what I mean, have like a rod that goes up and connects to the electric wire as they're rolling along and keeps them going? I don't know if that's what that is. It may be.
Yeah, it's kind of like most trams, you know, they get their electricity from one of the rails. It's almost the same concept, except for there's usually always, but yeah, usually it's hung in the air rather than on the ground. So they're talking about from the ports to the locations having almost like a tram kind of set up in order to cut back on.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm looking at it. You ever see like the bumper cars
Exactly. Like kind of like a bumper car. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that electric rod that goes up and it slides along the ceiling. That's pretty much what it is. I'm looking at it's just like those trolley cars or whatever that run on the wires above them, but they have to have a rod that goes up and runs along the way. Okay, so you know that's I don't know. Anyways, let me continue on here, and we'll like I said, we'll break this down. So it says former Tesla executive Ian Wright sold his stock in Tesla Motors when Elon Musk came on board. Wright wanted to attack the challenges of truck pollution rather than build some silly sports car. He has since created his own company called Wright Speed that focuses on cleaning up the emissions from heavy-duty garbage trucks. He invented a new form of hybrid powertrain that uses a small gas turbine to recharge the batteries. The turbine is so clean it doesn't even need a catalytic converter to meet California's stringent emission rules. Now, it says the problem with electric trucks. I mean, it sounds like a good idea, but here's what it starts going into. It says the problem with electric trucks today is that the batteries need to be so large and heavy they would take up much of the space available for hauling freight. Not only that, they would be prohibitively expensive. The Wright Speed system is a compromise that attempts to strike a balance between cost and range. It has attracted international attention, and the company has recently signed a contract to repower a fleet of diesel buses in New Zealand. It says the allure of the electric trucks has created an opportunity for hucksters and charlatans. Earlier this year, a Florida company calling itself Oak Ridge Global Energy Solutions said it had developed. Now, listen to this. It says that it had developed a battery for Freedom Trucking of Minneapolis that would haul an 80,000-pound load 400 miles. That claim turned out to be vaporware. Now, listen to this. Another entrant into the heavy truck sweepstakes company is calling itself Nikola Motors, a rather obvious attempt to somehow conflate, that means join together, what it is doing with the work of Tesla Motors. It says its Nikola One tractor will have 2,000 horsepower, 3,700 pounds of torque, foot-pounds of torque, a 325-kilowatt battery, six-wheel drive with torque vectoring and 1,200 mile of range. It relies on an onboard natural gas turbine to keep the battery charged while driving. Now listen to this stuff. The design concept for the Nikola One is visually appealing and has companies, and the company says it has 7,000 pre-orders for the truck worth a total of $2.3 billion. I did the math. Do you know how much that is? They have 7,000 trucks on order, pre-ordering right now, if they can come up with this, for $2.3 billion. Do you know how much that is if you do the math for one truck?
Seven mil or something?
No. $4.5 million. So for one rig, it would be $4,571,428.57. Now think about this for a second. For the life of you, you wouldn't spend that much in diesel for one truck. Okay? So if you think about it, even right now, if the average truck is only doing $1,000 a week in diesel, that'd be $12,000 a year. 10 years would be $120,000. And the average tractor right now costs about $160,000, $170,000. So if you just figure, if you figure in the whole cost of truck and diesel for 10 years, you're looking at literally $160,000, $170,000 plus $120,000 in fuel. You're talking less than $300,000 for 10 years. This thing here is $4.5 million for one. Now, here's the neat thing about this, Tyler, and I'll let you go ahead and talk in a second. They don't have it yet. It's a concept. All it is it's a concept. Every one of these are concepts. Listen to this. It says, right, we can assume the Tesla Semi will not have a range extender engine of any type. How Tesla will make an electric tractor that can haul heavy loads long distances that is cost competitive remains unclear. But if Elon says that's what Tesla will do, we can be pretty sure it will. Then it says dash eventually. Then it says J.B. Strubble says he and Elon talked about electric airplanes long before they decided to build automobiles. And ocean-going cargo vessels are some of the worst polluters on the face of the planet. Musk probably has plans for them, too. Look for those ideas to be part of the master plan. Now, in all honesty, I don't see in anywhere where that article even said that they don't even have one that they can test. They obviously can't come up with a battery that is small enough that it doesn't take up half the cargo space in the freaking 53-foot trailer. These guys couldn't even – everything right now they're doing – in the beginning of the show, Tyler, you specifically said, this sounds like it should be pretty easy. Maybe the concept is, but they ain't getting it. It ain't even close.
Well, it is. They can easily do it, but it's a matter of now refining it to get it to where the truck, you're going to have the space to do it. Like, they could easily implement this for passenger vehicles, no problem right now.
Well,
it's
not
going to be a huge passenger vehicle,
right.
But for semis hauling 80,000 pounds, you're cutting your load in half. That was my biggest worry right there, was going to be how big do these batteries need to be. That's going to take some time to figure that out. And as we get further along, I see that, them coming up, research. The first SUV eco vehicle took 8 to 11 years to build. And I think that was released in 2010 or something like that. So we're talking much larger scale than an SUV. This is going to take some time, but it's definitely going to be here. Wait, if they push for this, I see this being out there way sooner than autonomous, for sure. Like, we're way farther along in this than I would say we are autonomous.
Here's the thing. Here's my thing on this. I don't have a problem with any of this stuff. If you can make something that's got enough power to pull that weight and keep the range right, I don't have a problem with it. I just don't see, like you said, it took the car, the pickup truck, 8 to 11 years just to develop the battery. Here's my thoughts. If they don't have nuclear cells yet that they've learned how to contain and use that, I think that's probably going to be your answer to future power, Tyler. Would I be wrong in assuming something like that, more nuclear, to where the cells could be a lot smaller to contain more power?
No, I don't see it. Man, that's years down the road, because you start trying to put nuclear kind of stuff, like turbines and stuff in vehicles and stuff. You're talking about nuclear emission and stuff like that, and radiation and everything. Every passenger person. So that, I don't know how that's going to go. I'm sure that is the true answer. There's no better, Iron Man's chest plate, if we can have one of those for real, that would solve all of our energy issues. But it's not actually, Iron Man is, it's not real, it's, but yeah, that would be, he the suit's real. There's concepts out there for the suit and everything. It's just, we're not there, not even close.
Don't get me wrong.
That would be awesome.
Tyler, at any moment, there could be somebody out there that has a major breakthrough that just advances.
At any moment, that could happen.
Right, exactly. There's no doubt about that. But from what we see right now, it's all a concept. This autonomous thing has been a I heard about this stuff 10 years ago where they were talking about, especially coming into cities, where you would be on some kind of a track system to where it, your vehicle gets taken over and they guide you through where you need to be versus all the congestion that they have now. So the concept has been there for a long, long time. People out there, I'm going to tell you drivers that are listening to this show, truthfully, just relax, man. It's there's no sense in blowing a blood vessel over this. I mean, in all honesty,
right?
Everybody, I think a lot of them are confusing the autonomous car with the electric car. But I will tell you in another article that I just posted up on Talk CDL. I did that post. Is there's a thing from Live Trucking that is. Or Live Trucking. Is it Live Trucking or Live Trucking? I don't even know. But anyways, those guys, they just posted an article there that says this guy's dream, this Tesla, is not only an electric one, but an electric autonomous vehicle. So I'm sure when the drivers read that, they'll be flipping out over that one too, because that's not only, non-diesel. It's also driverless, you still somebody being there monitoring it, according to these guys. And that is the future. Look, there's no fighting that. If these autonomous vehicles come out and they can prove, and here's what everybody's got to know, let's talk about this for a second, Tyler. If real autonomous vehicles come out, we're flipping the topic here for a second, from electric vehicles to autonomous, if that does come out and they can prove that it's 100% safer, you can sure bet that the driver's duties are going to change in trucking. Now, how far are we away from that? I would assure you just about that everybody that's driving today probably won't see that. I mean, the amount, and here's the other thing. Right now, if they did come out with autonomous vehicles, they're only good for interstates. They're not good for back roads and side roads and maneuvering in docks and all that stuff. You're still going to need the skills of a trucker. And to be honest with you, I almost find it a little bit redundant, Tyler, if you think about this. I don't think that more accidents are on the interstate. I think more accidents are on your side roads and back roads where humans are still going to be needed to maneuvering those vehicles. Versus up on the interstate where most people don't have an accident. What do you think?
Yeah, it's just like autopilot on a plane. You need a pilot to land it. You don't need a pilot to fly it. Okay. I think it'll be the same concept. And I think it's going to increase pay for drivers. Now, we're not going to be able to have the guys who say, you know what, I'm just going to drive a vehicle for a living. It's not going to be the same kind of thing. We're going to be just like the rest of civilization. We get more further in technology. Just like our young, our kids in elementary school now and middle school, they have programming courses as like they're part of their school because that's the way the world's going, and that's just going to be how everything moves. You're going to have some sort of electronical mindset.
No, I want to go back to a statement you just made.
The future.
I want to go back to a statement you just made. You're saying, so the typical person that now gets a Class A CDL, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, this is what it sounded like you said. The typical guy, Joe Schmo, that gets his trucker's license and gets out there and starts driving a tractor trailer for a living, that's not going to be the guy that is going to be the future trucker. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's exactly what I was getting at. Those guys are going to have to be the guys, instead of driving a truck, they're going to have to drive heavy equipment.
Okay.
Same kind of feel.
This is the one thing I don't think you'll ever get away from in trucking. The people that go out on the road and live the life, it's still going to be a life that you have to live.
When
you have manufacturers that are in California and the freight needs to get over to Pennsylvania, you still need long-haul truckers. And your typical person that's Mr. College and all that stuff, I mean, there are some truckers that have gone to college, okay? And I'm not putting anybody down, but what I am saying is this. I think the guy that lives the life and the gal that lives the life as a trucker, they live that life, I think they're always going to be the same person because it takes a special breed to get out there and be in a big rig and be gone from their families for weeks at a time. I don't think the person's going to change. His education might have to get higher.
See, right now in trucking, we have different people, right? We have different personalities. We have a guy who literally just drives the truck, right? That's all he really cares about. He's about that lifestyle. He's about that, you know, getting in a truck, big hauling, you know, that diehard trucker kind of mindset, right? But we do have truckers out there who are very, you know, they love the road, they love everything else, but they're also technically savvy, right? They enjoy other things, not just trucking, right? So it's like a crossbreed, you know? It's just that guy, that diehard trucker for the feel of, like, the diesel engine and everything that comes around with trucking, you know, 20 years ago, those guys, they're not going to – this industry is not going to appeal to them as much anymore. It might appeal to them, but they might not agree with the technology aspect, so they're not going to be the guy that's going to be going to school no more.
I think it will appeal to them. I don't think you're ever going to get the guy that goes to college for 10 years that's real high tech guy to go away from his family for weeks at a time for his whole life. That's not a trucker is a
that's
trucker.
That's not true
that's
either. Look at,
but listen, hold on.
Hey, look at NASA pilots.
I think that the training will get easier. Here's what I think. I think these Teslas and these new vehicles that are going to be autonomous to where you have to monitor it, I think the training is going to be very easy on it. I don't think it's going to be so high tech nobody can understand it. I think that they're going to make it that good.
They're not gonna be releasing a system that you need to have this immense amount of technical knowledge to handle, right? It's gonna be user interface. It's gonna be something that's gonna be hopefully, you know, straightforward, right? But there's gonna be way more to it technologically than just getting in your truck and shifting the gears. You know, there's going to be a little bit more of a curve to that.
Tyler, would you agree? A couple of years ago, most guys that were 60 didn't even know how to email somebody. And now these guys are getting pretty tech savvy. A lot of these truckers out there, they operate Qualcomms. They know how to email. They know how to find their way around the net. Some of them know how to build websites and programs. I think that they're human. I think those same guys are going to be able to be trained for autonomous vehicles. But I do not think that it's going to be a different breed of people. I think the same guy that was a trucker 100 years ago when trucks came out is the same guy that was 50 years ago. And a lot of your truckers today that are like, say, have 20 years experience, they look at the young guys and they go, oh, those guys, they don't know what trucking is. They don't know this. They don't know that because I'm big bad daddy trucker. And you know what? Let me tell them guys something. The guys before that were your mentors were saying the same thing about you. So 20 years ago, when you guys were getting your Class A CDL, there was a bunch of guys from the 60s and the 70s going, these guys don't know what truck is like, man. We used to sleep on a board, man. These guys, we had cab overs. These guys are pussies with their damn condos. I'm telling you, every time technology comes out, the generation that's at that point, they end up, they fear change, but some of them adapt.
Yeah.
And you're younger, Tyler, wouldn't you agree? Like your younger guys, you know, like we see a lot of them not using CBs, which is a danger, but like, it's not a different breed. It's just a different technology and people adapt.
That's what I was getting at. You're going to have the same people, right? It's just like, there's a mentality in the person that makes them join the military. There's a mentality that makes them be an airplane pilot. You're going to have that same person. There's just going to be a certain percentage out of that mindset that does not transition over. Because it's just like, you know, just like the guys that join the military that are in the mindset of, I guess a good representation would be the guys that join the military that choose, you know, maybe the Marine Corps over the Air Force, right? They're joining for the military, but they're not really as, you know, scientific and technology mindsetted. So they join the Marines because they're more that kind of brute kind of mentality, right? It's going to be the same thing in trucking, you know. It's the same mindset, that same, you know, bug in their body that wants to go travel, be out on the road, be able to be away from their family, be able to live that lifestyle, but with a little bit of an additive of being willing to learn a little bit more than just your routes and how to handle Qualcomm and all that other kind of stuff. Just like now we have the guys that right now adapted the Qualcomm, the guys right now that aren't complaining about Qualcomm, the guys right now that are complaining about Qualcomm are the guys that will not be able to drive these trucks. The guys that are complaining saying, oh, we need paper logs, these Qualcomms, I just can't do them, those guys will not be truckers no more. And that's what I'm getting at. The guys who can do Qualcomm, the guys who can adapt, the guys that are getting used to these technologies like Facebook and social media and everything else, the guys that are moving forward in that, the guys you mentioned a few minutes ago, they're going to be good. The rest of the guys, they're not going to make it in there. I don't see it happening.
Because I know, like, a lot of drivers, like we, and I'm an ex-driver by heart, I'm still a driver, we kind of learn with a hands-on thing, even though we fear change and we hate change and it makes us get angry. We learn a lot of stuff accidentally. You just, like I said, look at these truckers. I'll never forget when Qualcomm was really new to a lot of trucking companies 20 years ago when people were really – and I'll tell you what. I used to have to explain to these guys because they were so scared. They would call me when I was in the recruiting department. They'd say, you guys have them Qualcomms? And we'd be like, yeah. Uh-huh. They'd be like, oh, man, I've never used them before, man. I don't know. I'd be like, hey, dude, seriously, it takes you about 30 seconds to learn how to use them. And I'd explain it over the phone. And they'd go, oh, really? That ain't so bad. You know, and it really, and I'm talking about just the Qualcomm to maybe get your loads and direction. That's it. You know what I mean? It was something, it was a satellite. It was a little box in your truck and it would light up red. It would beep. And believe it or not, some of them would work while you're going down the road. That was the first texting and driving. Probably people didn't even realize it. But a lot of them, you had to stop or they wouldn't work. But once drivers got adapted to that, like I said in the beginning of the show, You look at the industry today, right? And these guys don't even blink at a Qualcomm. I mean, every now and then, you know, you'll hear a driver that's never used a Qualcomm, but everybody knows what a Qualcomm or PeopleNet is. I don't think it's going to be any different, autonomous vehicles, because the one thing, if you think about it, Tali, I know you'll agree with technology. The one thing that's for sure, that it's going to have to be easy enough that even a monkey can use it. Or
That's what I'm getting at is you're talking about, you know, because, you know, the typical driver, the mindset of the driver that we imagine, you know, because we know truckers, right, but that the public imagines is, oh, well, they're not very smart. You know, they just drive a truck, you know, kind of, you know, and we see it. We mention it all the time. We're not afraid to say it. You know, they post stuff over on our page all the time. And a lot of times we get comments that not even related towards the image, not even related towards the text. It's just they look at the image and that's it. Right, like those kind of things. There's gonna need to be attention to detail, because it's gonna be more than just you're not on control all the time. You're gonna have to be able to be aware and have attention to detail, be watching different gauges and everything else. It's gonna be like a cockpit, you know. It's gonna be like a land aircraft almost. It's gonna be something a little bit more. Now our new generations. You mentioned, hey, Qualcomm's normal now. Well, how many generations have we went through that Qualcomm's been out now? Going on two generations, you know? So it's the norm now. You know, we've adapted to that. And, yeah, the new guys coming into the industry, I think they'll be fine. It's the current industry.
You think about this also. Freight is that valuable in the country that if autonomous trucks weren't that easy to use, nobody's going to buy them. Like if you own 1,000 trucks and you got to now come up with 1,000 different drivers because the drivers you have can't operate them, you ain't getting those trucks. So these guys not only are obligated to come out with a good autonomous vehicle, but they're also going to be obligated to make it, you know, almost like driving for dummies, man. I mean, these guys are going to literally have to come up with something to where there's not a bunch of foreign language. When I mean foreign, I don't mean another country. I just mean, you know, technology, high tech words that are on the screen. You're gonna have to look at that and say, okay, yep, I hit this button, and this is what I do. And that vehicle also is programmed to give driver warning that the driver has to be able to take over because it can't handle certain things. So I mean, I believe it's going to be easier than people think it is, because this is a highly dangerous. I mean, some of this new, Tyler, you gotta also agree with me on this. You have new technologies, and you know, the latest one in the industry was the electronic logs. Drivers are kicking and screaming all the way to the electronic logs, right? And we know that the president signed it in October of 2015, and the law states, and OLED is still fighting it, but it's signed in. It's by December of 2017, electronic logs have to be on every truck. It has to be on every truck, but everybody understands how to use them. You know, it's a new technology that's coming. If this truck comes out, okay, and you think about the concept, this is what I'm getting at. That technology was not a danger. There wasn't. It's not something that they had to make perfect for everybody to operate in a blink of an eye, which they do know how to use anyways. It's pretty simple, they say. I've never used one. But this new thing with autonomous vehicles, Tyler, you know it has to be simple enough that a monkey can operate it,
yeah,
because it's putting the entire country into some kind of crazy danger if it's not.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's going to be as simple as like a monkey can use. I think that's going
a
little bit too general because, you know, then again, actually, you know, I've seen monkeys shoot guns and stuff too. I mean, they're smart people, or animals, I should say. You know, but I think it's going to be a little bit step above that. I think it's going to be something where, you know, you're at least like 2 months of training or so. I don't think it's going to be a whole thing yet. You know, at some point, I truly believe where there is going to be full on bachelor degrees available for these trucks. I truly believe that in the next 50 years, there will be bachelors of arts in autonomous trucks. I believe it, because 20 years ago, when we first started in, you know, researching into drones and everything, it was, you know, it wasn't really a thing, right? Now you can get a bachelor's in flying drones. Okay. It's gonna, as the technology advances farther, they're going to expect, because the pay will go up. Mark my words, the pay will go up when you start.
Here's the other thing, Tyler, and you said it in the beginning. We go back to the electric trucks for a second. Well, I don't understand the big deal if they take diesel out of it. And maybe people are thinking, because they were flipping out on the web on Facebook the other day about the electric vehicle. They weren't even talking about autonomous. This was just a one that man operates,
yeah,
and it becomes electric. And it's like, who the hell cares if it runs on,
yeah,
banana peels? You know what I mean? If you had to feed garbage into it for it to work, what does it really matter what makes it go? I don't even understand why you'd be mad at that. That doesn't even make sense. And here, let me finish this one for a second. Tyler, if I invent a new truck for you right now, and it's got enough power to where you can go, and it's quiet, and guess what else? It can go 1,200 miles before you have to charge it or whatever the case is. What does that matter to you? Why would you? What can you think of a reason why you'd be upset over it? I mean, unless, Tyler, the only other thing that I can think that they're mad about is, maybe because it might take 24 hours to charge. I don't know that what their thoughts are, but nobody said that. They were just pissed off that Tesla had the nerve to take away diesel and put electric in there. And I'm telling you, it was funny. But, you know, they're right to their opinion. Go ahead.
Okay, so I don't know if you're up to date on the the current general public vehicles. You know, we came out with the Eco Diesel not too long ago. I think actually in 2016 is when Dodge first came out with these eco diesels, right? Huge controversy. You know, why would you want a diesel to be eco? You know, you got that mindset, it's got the torque, you know, you put diesel in it, but people still really didn't like them. But then there was a population of people that really enjoy the eco diesel because you get every benefit of a diesel, but it gets insane gas mileage. It's really good. It's still got torque. It can't pull as much, but it's still a good truck. I think that's the kind of the controversy in this. It's like, okay, you know, why do we not want diesel? You know, what kind of power are we losing? And
so, Tyler,
honestly, it is a feat. Those electric batteries. Go
Tyler,
ahead.
Well, I just want to just cut you off for a second because you just reminded me of something. Probably before your time, okay, the average car when I was a kid were all 8 cylinders, okay? They were all 8 cylinders. And then, because everybody had Camaros and Chargers and Dusters, they had, you know, Mustangs, all these cars, they were all 8s, right? Cadillacs were 8 cylinders, Malibus, Impalas, all your vehicles were all 8 cylinders, smooth running vehicles. Now, all of a sudden, right, in like the mid 80s, they start coming out with 6 cylinders. Oh my gosh, everybody was so mad. They were up in arms flipping out over 6 cylinders because of the power, you know, of the, and then all of a sudden 4 cylinders came out. And like everybody was just up and down. There ain't no way I'm buying no stinking 4-cylinder. No, every time change comes, technology. But you want to know what they found? They found that those six cylinders got a lot of guts, man. You can make a 6-cylinder pretty damn powerful. Maybe not quite as powerful as an 8, but you don't need that kind of power as far as quarter mile running. But let me tell you something. They did not like it. They flipped out. They fought against it. Now everybody has either a 4 or 6. There's hardly any such thing as an 8-cylinder today.
Yeah, I mean, you have, you know, there's always people out there, and I applaud them, you know, because to be honest with you, we need people like this that are looking to make things different, because us as Americans, as human beings, we're all about getting. We don't give very often. It's just not really... You know, we want to get, and we're not really about giving, you know, and we take advantage of the place that we live, the air that we breathe, because we are born into it. It's like, okay, hey, you know, air, whatever, you know, I breathe it. It's no big deal.
All we care about is our Big Macs and all our high-calorie, fattening foods. You know that. Seriously, man, like we worry, like there's people starving, and all we care about is the amount of food and the yummy stuff we're going to get and the vehicles and the do you know that the most of the world doesn't even own cars? Did you know that? It's true.
Yeah. Most of it.
You go to other countries, like 95% of other people in each country. It's like us, Japan, and a couple of Euro countries, you know, Russia, Germany, Italy, France, stuff like that. They all own cars. But in like most of your other countries, most people don't even have
a third world countries. Barely any of them have vehicles.
Yeah, some of them haven't even been in one.
Yeah, my point is, though, is that we're destroying this earth. It's fact. You know, the stuff that we create, the things that we build, is not good for the environment. But we don't care. No one cares. As long as we get what we want, we get what we want. Why do we have to care? We're going to die and... You know, the earth is going to still be here maybe when I'm dead. Who knows what's going to happen there? But we don't care. You know, and we have people. Look at China. No one cared in China. Now look at their condition. I mean, it's fact that, you know, science is science. I mean, stuff, it's science. It's proven in certain aspects of things. Now some science is bloated.
Tyler, why doesn't anybody want to embrace change?
I don't know. Yeah, it's what it's like, man.
Oh my God,
it's like, you gotta understand. You know, people want to help. You know, and this is kind of our next thing in order to try and cut back and be able to make sure that your grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren can still breathe clean air, right? So take it and run with it. Be thankful that people are actually working their butt off to try and figure out how your generation can keep living. You know, and it's just, So. That's what I would say on that, and look at it from just a different standpoint. Yeah. Keep it clapping, man. That's what I'm saying, man. It's just I can't fathom why people don't enjoy change. Where'd you get all these things from? Were they already in there?
I'm just kidding. Hey, you think the air horn's gonna work? You know. No, seriously.
You know, this is actually one thing
on
you just reminded
truck,
me.
You have an air horn.
This is one thing that I will say with the electric trucks that are very, and I'm going to be interested to see how it works, is electricity is very hard to control, right? When you turn on a battery, you know, say the battery on your car, we'll just use that for example. If you were to, you know, take two screwdrivers, put one on the negative, one on the positive, what happens? does a little bit of energy come out, or does everything that it has just shock right away? And that's the biggest thing that I'm interested to see, because this was the biggest feat with the current electric, you know, four-wheelers that are out there now, is to be able to control acceleration and deceleration, because it's very hard to take and only suck as much as needed out of a battery and make that speed limit, you know, adjust and everything else. So that's where I'm concerned, because we get guys out there in trucks that overload their trucks, you know, they don't care, they go over their weight limit, and these batteries are going to need to be able to compensate for the guy who says, I'm going to throw an extra 5,000 pounds on my truck. You do not want to overheat these batteries. These batteries can explode. You know, so that's where my thing is, and I'm interested to see how that works, because, you know, I would hate to see these batteries blow up, and that's the safety risk right there is where I'm concerned about, and I'm interested to see how that develops. Everything else, I'm all about it. You know, let's get some electronic vehicles out there. As long as they can pull the loads, I'm all about it.
Tyler, let's flip the switch. I promised that I would talk about this, and we only have like 4 minutes left. Just a quick comment about the inspections out there. Did you ever know that you were allowed to use a roadside inspection or a DOT inspection as your actual annual inspection? I never even knew that. That's kind of a crazy concept. But they're saying now it no longer exists. That's a new rule that just got implemented into, the trucking industry this year. So for all you people out there listening that were using your DOT inspection to, have your annual tractor inspection done on, you'll no longer get to do that. And I don't really think most companies were doing that. Tyler, I just wanted to mention that because I said we'd talk about it. But you know what? We have like 3 minutes left, Tyler. Why don't we wrap this thing up? We get together tomorrow night. And Lord willing, hopefully we'll be able to do the show. Go ahead and give me your thoughts, big guy.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just summed them up right there. But all I would say is adapt to change. You know, it's your grandkids, grandkids, grandkids that are going to have to deal with this earth while you're gone. So help, you know, in that change in order to, you know, make sure the environment's good. I don't know. I would also say drive safe and, you know, make sure you're looking ahead. And I think that's about it.
Hey, you know what my final thoughts are? If we're alive tomorrow, guess what? We're going to get up and do the show again. Guess what else, guys? I think I need to get more technical things on this show. Tyler talks his brains out when he got that tech stuff to talk about. Man, whoo-wee. Well, I'll tell you what. We are looking forward to the show this year more and more and more. We're looking forward to this week. We're looking forward to talking to y'all. We appreciate everything you're doing out there for Talk CDL. Like us on Facebook. Head on over to our friend Lady Truckers over there, Kelly McCulley. Like her on Facebook. Don't forget to visit our people at Drive for Freedom. Also, Truckers Final Mile. Check out our website. There's lots of things on it. Blogs. There's lots of pictures. There's lots of, I think there's job articles on there if you're looking for a job. Places for park. There's a list of parking places all over the country for you on TalkCDL.com. By the way, we are moving up the scale, Lord willing, on the Alexa world rankings on our website. So thank you for all that. iTunes, don't forget to check us out on iTunes. iTunes is the place you can find Talk CDL and download us for free. That's right. We're free. We're pretty cheap date. So we're free. Download us and take us with you in your truck. Don't forget the call-in number, 516-387-1911. Guys, we appreciate you. We care about you. Till we meet again, God bless and good night.